With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area, Jim Kawakami.
Jim Kawakami, who has covered the NBA for over two decades.
It's time now for the TK Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey, Jim Kawakami here, TK Show, recording from Levi's Stadium. I've done it a few times here. We're in a room, in a media room, speaking to Jimmy Garoppolo. Your first time on TK Show. I'm sure you're very nervous about this.
Very. I've been thinking about it all day.
This came about in a very strange way because it was going to be a story. Somehow it diverted to other things, but you've been kind enough to make this a podcast. It's just going to be a real conversation. I do appreciate that. Jimmy, I did this. The origin of the story was just this interesting offseason, this interesting training camp. So I want to definitely talk about that. You said goodbye, right? You were a heartfelt, you know, authentic, emotional goodbye to the media, to everybody. I know you felt that way. Can you take me back to your mindset back then? Like, it was sadness? Was it, you know, some amount? What was going through your mind at that point?
Man, there was a lot of emotions. I think, you know, whenever you go through a full season with a group of guys and become accustomed to an area of living, there's a lot of things that come into play, but I think just the group of guys we had, we were so close last year, all the emotions you put into this game and the passion that you play with, and then for it all just to, you know, as soon as you lose, it's over like that. And so you just gotta, I don't know, it took a lot to compose myself and everything like that, but yeah, things got way working out and now we're right back here.
Well, you knew that was coming, like all season. Did you know, like, hey, they drafted the guy, they traded three first, like this is, again, I don't want to put it in any negative way, but
Yeah,
you knew
last year. You're saying.
That was probably your last year. Were you thinking about that the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, all season I kind of had that mindset, and that's sort of what I was playing for in a way. You know, there was certain guys on the team that you build relationships with, and you know you don't ever want it to end. And when you see that start to come to an end, it kind of wakes you up a little bit, and you start playing for a little bit more than just yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole locker room was responding to that. You don't have to comment on that, but I think we felt that. We felt that the way that they reacted in those games, the way the team played. Did you just feel, I mean, it wasn't maybe not even just about you, but just about that season, there was a togetherness there that, you know, maybe they hadn't felt before?
Absolutely, yeah. And never about me. I think it was always about the team. And that's why I thought we went as far as we did. You know, just we had a rough start last season. People seem to forget that. Yeah. And we started off, you know, not too good, and we kind of found our stride towards the end of the year. But when you get into a streak like that, you're rolling, everyone's on the same page in the locker room, coaches are on the same page, and it was a special group last year. And we're trying to repeat it this year, but it won't be easy to get back there.
So you go in the offseason thinking, okay, we're moving on. They said basically they're moving on. What were those first few weeks? Were you just assuming there would be a trade? And what was the communication like?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was assuming. Tried to rehab the shoulder. That was my big thing.
So when did the shoulder really start to hurt?
In the playoffs.
Really? Like, so like we were thinking about the thumb, but it was the shoulder.
Oh, yeah. The thumb was at least – so the thumb started as the, you know, top thing. And then when the shoulder thing happened against
Dallas?
Yeah. When that happened, it was like, all right, forget about the thumb. We'll worry about that later. The shoulder, I mean, whenever your back of your shoulder's messed up as a quarterback, you're going to have a difficult time throwing, I think. But, yeah, what was the question? I totally forgot what the question was.
So you're going into this first part of the offseason.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're thinking shoulder.
Yeah.
More than, like, where's my next team?
Exactly. So I was, let's get the shoulder right. I didn't think anything was going to happen if I had a bad shoulder. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to rehab it right away. I think we went about 3-4 weeks with that maybe, and nothing was changing. So, you know, I went to my rehab people that I was down with on LA, and it's like, you know, what do you think? We did a couple more tests, and that's when the doc who actually did my surgery, Dr. Eletrosh, mm-hmm. was like, you know, you need surgery, man. It's not going to heal by itself. And that kind of set everything else into a whirlwind with the trade stuff and kind of put that on halt.
And are you thinking, this might screw up my season here. I mean, or was the doctor saying this is what's going to make sure you have a good
season? Yeah. Because in my mind, it was like what you just said. I was like, how am I going to get ready for the season now? I'm not going to know any of my new teammates. And the doc was like, you know, you're not going to be able to throw if you don't do this. So that was, and that's the tough part as an athlete. You got to, you know, go through those tough moments of, okay, I need to get my body correct and fix my body in order to go do the rest of the stuff.
I was interested to say that teams that were looking for quarterbacks before the surgery stuff, maybe they knew, I don't know, were there communication with the agent that there could be a surgery coming up? Because the lack of interest was weird to me. Was it piss you off a little bit? I mean, teams got other quarterbacks that probably had not done as much as you've done this league.
No, it didn't really make me mad. I understood the situation with the shoulder. You know, you got to know yourself in this league and where you stand just in the hierarchy of stuff. And I think once the shoulder surgery happened, I mean, if I was another team, I would have wanted a quarterback to be there for OTAs, be there for training camp. I get that. But I don't know. That's just kind of the tricky part of things that way of working out, and you just got to roll with the punches.
There were some quarterbacks acquired before the surgery, right? I mean,
right.
You don't have to be Brady and start saying these guys, you know, whatever. but was that catch your attention?
Yes and no. I mean, I was worried about the I know sound cliche saying it, but I was really worried, like, all right, because I'm, you know, ACL as a quarterback, you're like, all right, I could come back from that. Mm-hmm. But when it's your shoulder and that's your moneymaker, that's
your first kind of arm injury, right?
Yeah, it was different. So there's a part of you that's like, am I ever going to be able to throw like I used to? Because, you know, at the end of the year, I wasn't throwing like myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see it all over the tape. And I think, it was a blessing in disguise, I think.
So when you get to surgery, are you just saying this? I might not have an answer about where I'm playing for quite some time. Are you really, that's in your mind?
Yeah. And probably was a good thing for the first couple months, you know, after the surgery, because those are the tough days of rehab. I really wasn't worried about trades or anything. I was like, all right, I'm going to do whatever I can for my shoulder, trades and stuff. That'll all take care of itself, I think, once I get healthy. And my agents that whole time were doing all the behind the scenes stuff, talking to teams, talking to head coaches. And there was things happening, but just no one was making that move.
I think you've been asked this, but just to be clear, the 49ers seemed to express some surprise at this timing of the surgery. Was there just a lack of communication? Did you want to make sure they knew at any point that this was happening?
Say it again? What do you mean?
What was communication with the 49ers about having the surgery? They seemed to express some surprise that it happened.
Well, I was surprised. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in if you could avoid the surgery, avoid the surgery. And so that's what I was trying to do initially. Yeah. And so the rehab process was going, and I think everyone thought it was just going how it was supposed to. And once I realized, all right, it's not fixing itself, you know, we need to do something drastic here, that's when the surprise came. And I was just as surprised as anything.
So when El Traje tells you, you had the surgery pretty quickly after that?
Yeah, I think, literally a couple days after
that. Wow. Well, you know what? El Traje is incredible. I mean, we know that.
I saw him after the Rams game. He was checking on the shoulder. He's feeling it. And it was funny.
He's Bozer, right? He's a bunch of tons of guys.
Yeah.
That's the statement you said about you got to know who you are in this league. You said it when you came back. It is a pretty remarkable statement. You don't hear that very often. You're being humble, right? You're saying, I understand my place in this league, even if it's not at the top. Is that a hard thing to like come to grips with sometimes?
I don't think so. I think if you got a big ego and you think, you know, you're number one or something like that, then it might be tough. But I grew up with three brothers, man. I had two other brothers that probably got into earth real quick. And if you ever thought you were number one, you'd be reminded that you're not. So I don't know. I think you're always pushing for that. We're always pushing for perfection. I think that's just the mindset of a competitor, mindset of an athlete. You have to be like that. And I don't know. I think the rest of it just who you are as a person.
Don't screw around with things you can't control, right? I mean.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I thought this about your relationship with Kyle over the years. It isn't, you know, you're not best friends and you're not at each other. You're just this working relationship, and I know he can be tough on quarterbacks, but do you think your ability to roll with things is a huge part of this?
Yeah. I mean, I think our relationship works because we play off of each other very well. You know, he brings that intensity of everything has to be perfect, has to be right, and I'm kind of more of the even keeled, all right, you know, next play, let's keep this thing moving, and it just balances each other out very well. And our relationship has been, you know, awesome on the field, just him putting us in successful plays. It's been good lately.
Any difference now than say, you know, in 18, 19, you and Kyle?
I don't think so. I mean,
you've been through a lot.
Yeah, obviously. I was going to say, I think your relationship grows naturally. Just the amount of big situations we've been in together, to arguments, you know, on the sideline, things like that. But I don't know. I'm a big believer that when you go through stuff like that, it makes you tighter as a, you know, two people.
Even when he picked another quarterback.
I mean, that is what it is. I can't, like you said, yeah. I can't control that.
When you were coming back, you could have stayed in LA, right? And you didn't have to come. You reported for training camp, and you're still rehabbing your arm. But didn't, was it okay? You could have gone back to LA, couldn't you?
Hell no.
Really? Well, why not?
I would have been there, man.
you wanted to be in the middle of all this?
No. Oh. They wanted me.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought Kyle said you could have gone. Okay, maybe that's not okay. He said you want to be here.
I will have stayed down in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was in a good spot in rehab. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a good thing going, throwing, things like that. And yeah, they wanted me up here.
Interesting.
Sidefield was my best friend then.
So when we're starting this, what do you, like, how are you? You know how I'm fascinated by the medical staff or Cam Bustos. How did that all, like, does it just materialize? You just kind of go around and seeing who might be able to catch a pass?
Yeah, so once we got into, you know, putting together schedule and things, Ryan Donahue, our rehab guy, was, you know, with me most of the time, and he was also dealing with other people. And I was like, you know, I need someone to catch passes. Like, I'm a quarterback, that's what I need. I don't need to, you know, do all this running and stuff. And so we didn't really have anyone because everyone was at practice at the time. And Cam was our guy, man. He
stepped up.
We heard he was a high school receiver, put him out there. Great catch radius, very mm-hmm. long arm. So it made some not so good throws look good. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, man. I mean, it was as weird of a situation as it was. We tried to enjoy as much as we could.
You have fans watching you sometimes, right? You have your teammates walking by. You have Mike Shanahan walking by. Did it strike you that this was a bizarre situation? Just that aspect?
Hell yeah. I think it struck everybody. But, you know, I kind of knew what the situation was coming into it. So you kind of prepare yourself mentally for that. But, yeah, I don't know. It just sort of is what it is.
So you had a throwing program, right? You had like 15 of these, 45 of these.
Yeah, we were on a pitch count basically every day. Some days longer than others, but... Yeah, Ryan did my ACL rehab with me. He's done the shoulder now. He's, you know, he's the best.
So you're throwing, you're throwing routes. I mean, what are you picturing in your head about what you're throwing?
So you're in training camp, so you're trying to picture a defense out there. That was one of the hardest things, though, trying to picture a defense. And then also, you know, I'm throwing spot routes to Cam.
Yeah.
It's different than a 4-3 running across the middle, and you have to judge that with
where the defense is, right?
Yeah.
They're moving, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a... That was probably the hardest thing once I did come back to just when I was on the scout team, like, all right, these guys are freaking moving. And I got to play catch up now.
You go, where's Cam? Where's Cam?
Exactly. I'm like, come on, man.
I'm going to go back to that, just the surreal part. At some point, did you feel like I'm really feeling great here? Where was that? Because I saw you a couple times and you were really cutting loose. Was that happening pretty early?
I would say I'm still not feeling great, or at least not where I want to be. Rehab is a tricky thing because, you know, they say you're back, you're healthy. You're not completely back and you're not completely healthy.
Yep.
I think every athlete knows that part of it, but you just got to, that's the tricky part of being in season, still trying to get my arm back to where it needs to be because you're playing that rep game. You know, you're trying to get your reps up early in the week, control it later in the week so you're not sore on Sundays. I've never been in this situation. I don't know who has, but it's just it's a different situation, but you just got to handle it.
This is going to get better throughout? I mean, are you sure it's going to get better throughout the season,
though? That's what I'm planning on, man. I sure hope so.
Yeah. You've had some injuries. You've been through some things. There's no way to say I'm not going to get injured, but are there preparations? Are there things that you've done to make sure that, try as much as you can to make sure that doesn't happen in the future?
I mean, yeah, as an athlete, I think just being in the best shape you can be, practicing, injuries are a freak thing.
Yeah.
You know, they could happen like that, whether you did the right thing or wrong thing. You could be 100% and do the right thing, and you still, you know, have a season-ending injury. I mean, that's football. But I don't know. I think as an athlete, you just got to do everything you can. Eat the right things, get enough sleep. That's big during the season. Just all the little things like that. Those are what add up.
Then when you see, obviously no fault of Trey's, but you see Trey Lance get hurt right there, your first thought is what, just got to get out on the field? Or was it, oh, Lord, this is, like, what's going through your head at that point?
I mean, honestly, I thought he got, like, a concussion at first. So I thought it was just going to be a couple plays. And then actually Ryan Donahue was next to me, and he goes, I think he dislocated his ankle. And that's when it really hit me. Okay, this is going to be more than a couple plays, man. So I don't know. That's a weird situation because I've never been in that situation. I've been a backup for Tom. Tom never got hurt, so I never had to do that. So it happens so fast. And all of a sudden you're out there, it's third down. Thankfully, I got hit on the first play. It kind of woke me up a little bit. Then after that, it's just, you know, playing football.
A lot was made to do with you saying, oh, you know, playing more freedom. And I get that, right? It's more instinctual. What do you mean about by that, like, throughout the as the season goes on? Is there freedom within Kyle's system?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think the freedom just came from, you know, the situation that I had been in all offseason. I didn't go through OTAs. I didn't go through training camp. So, you know, now you're out there and some of these plays I've never run before. So there's the freedom to, all right, figure it out. And it just reminded me of 2017.
Improvisation.
Yeah.
Like, let's just make it work.
Be a football player. That's what, I don't know, when that happened, that's what I was thinking of. But now that we're into our normal schedule and, you know, game planning and things like that, like normal, it's pretty much back to normal.
You literally had not thrown Debo or IU since January, right?
Yeah.
Literally, like not even throwing scout team stuff. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing scout team
stuff. Yeah, with nothing stuff. Come on, Debo.
Yeah,
I need extra work. You've been very generous with your time. I will wrap this up with a question, a version of a question I ask all my guests. For the first time, I'm asking you, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy, what's your favorite book?
Favorite book? I'd go Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights.
Okay.
I actually read it this offseason, recommended by our fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. Mm-hmm. Not much of a reader, but that was a pretty good book.
What is it about? I'm sorry, I don't even know it.
It's all over the place. It's life philosophy, I would say, from Matthew McConaughey's point of view.
Interesting. That's interesting. But he's a smart guy.
He is. And it was pretty enlightening. Just, I don't know if I'll do everything that he did. He, you know, did some different stuff, has some different thoughts, but no, it was really cool. I really enjoyed the book. I haven't read a book in I don't know how long.
I asked Jimmy before the show, like, what do you want to be asked? Favorite movie, favorite TV? He said, favorite book? I go, yes, we are doing favorite
I was
book.
Sitting on a couch with the shoulder for a while, man, so I had to do something.
And... So listen, I'm going to be doing a podcast in a few months, so let me try to figure out what book I'm going to
exactly.
Kyle does, Shanahan sometimes, like, I got to figure out what book I'm going to recommend because I got to be on your show.
Is he really?
So you did it without even knowing. Listen, beautiful. Jimmy Garoppolo, listen, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for talking to me. The story went through very different ways. But the fact that it ended up as a nice conversation, I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thanks for having me, Tim.
That's the show for today.